China has seen its COVID cases nudge up. We should know this outbreak is small compared to much of the world. 82 new cases yesterday. That's compared to 135,000 in this country. That's according to Johns Hopkins numbers. Still, it is China's worst spike in more than a year. And NPR's Beijing correspondent Emily Feng is here to talk about this. Hey, Emily, how fast are the cases rising in China?
Well, fast is relative, right? They're rising by about 70 to 100 new cases a day. But this is a lot for China because their philosophy has always been keep cases at zero. So after months of, you know, three, four, five cases at most, all of a sudden to see it spike to nearly 100 is a shock to many people.
And is this something, you know, people on the street are talking about? Everyone is watching this?
For sure. You've seen people wearing face masks again. Neighborhoods sealing their gates so outsiders can't go in, temperature checks at every restaurant. Everyone in Beijing has these digital health certificates, and previously you could sort of walk into any public space without it, but now people are nervous and they're asking for them again.
Let me ask you a little bit about where some of these hotspots are. I imagine some of them are strategic globally. Yeah, I've read about, for instance, the port city of Ningbo.
Yes. So it's really clustered around travel hubs and places where there's international shipping. You mentioned Ningbo. There's also the big city of Guangzhou in the south that had a Delta outbreak earlier this month. And also Wuhan, the city where we first documented human cases of the novel coronavirus, that's been basically completely under lockdown for the last couple of weeks because they discovered a handful of cases there. And authorities are now beginning They should not be finishing testing of all 11 million residents.
So let me ask you then, if we're talking about a lot of these critical global cities in China, what are the implications for the rest of the world here? If, you know, China's manufacturing is dialed down, its exports, its shipping, its oil demand, its purchasing of American machines and soybeans, I mean, China is the essential country now.
What authorities are trying to do is, though they are doing mass testing and they are still doing lockdowns, they're trying to minimize how widespread those lockdowns are. So instead of shutting down an entire province, it's just certain districts in a city. And the idea is that if you can isolate and find everyone who's been infected, then the rest of the city and the rest of the region can continue working. And that way you don't disrupt the economy the way that you did a year ago during the first wave of the pandemic. But I think what Delta has really highlighted is that lockdowns and mass testing can only do so much because Delta is so darn infectious. It spreads very quickly. And even Chinese authorities that won't hesitate to test, you know, a million people in a day, they're also not able to find and isolate these people fast enough before they infect other people. So it's really challenging China's adherence to simply shutting everything down and keeping COVID out of the country. And we'll see whether they're able to bring cases back down to zero. Even if they are, though, given how infectious Delta is, I could imagine that this cycle ends, but another cluster begins somewhere else in the country, and the authorities are constantly playing whack-a-mole. China is vaccinating people, so about 60 to 70% of the country is now vaccinated. But there's no public data on how effective Chinese vaccines are over time or how good they are against variants, including Delta. So authorities are still quite nervous about relaxing their policies, even when people are vaccinated, because Delta could still land people in the hospital.
Well, let me ask you a little bit more about the Chinese-made vaccines. They, of course, have been exported to a lot of countries across the world, much of them in South America. We've seen numbers rise in a lot of those countries. So what is the conversation, the debate in China about their vaccines, about data transparency, being peer-reviewed, et cetera?
Although the initial data for a number of Chinese vaccines that are commonly in use right now were not very positive, they usually had efficacy rates between 60 to 75% for regular coronavirus, not for the variants. There are new vaccines that Chinese companies are developing that use the more effective mRNA technology, and those are currently being trialed. But again, China hasn't really relied on these vaccines. Their approach has been complete zero tolerance rather than accepting the idea that they're going to have to live with COVID and perhaps to build up immunization instead.
Finally, let me ask you about local officials and those who have been reportedly punished for mismanaging the outbreak. China, of course, is a giant place, and the party needs local officials to be aligned with what they're trying to do as far as these officials who got punished. What did they do and what happened to them?
They get publicly shamed. So every day there are these local media notices, basically, like bulletin boards, but online, where they list every official who has failed in their duties. Their name, their age, their gender, their position are completely publicized. This is, and then they're fired. This is a negative incentive to push people to work harder. The reason why, in part, China has such strict COVID containment policies is because the people enforcing them are terrified they could lose their jobs for even just allowing one case to happen.
Emily Feng is NPR's Beijing correspondent. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Scott.